Sarita Holzman is the co-founder and president of Sunlight Curriculum. She is a speaker, writer, curriculum developer, missions advocate, beloved wife, former homeschool mom, and grandmother five times over. Sarita's session is entitled Raising Your Children with a Heart for the World. In this session, Sarita will instruct on how to give your children a broad view of the world so that they can understand the news and pray appropriately for peoples and nations around the world. So let's take a moment and pray and ask God just to bless our time. Father, we just thank you so much that we can come together today, Lord. And I just pray for Sarita especially, Lord. I'm just excited to hear what's going to be happening with all these technical difficulties, Lord. They're not going to stop us. We're going to hear some good stuff today, Lord, and we're going to learn how to better pray and how to know about the things going on in the world. And I just thank you for her and her heart. And I just ask that you just bless each one of us here attending today. Help minimize any distractions, but help us to have a balance in just loving our children if there is anything that they need or whoever's around us, and just be an example of you, Lord. And I just ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for attending the 2009 Woman Inspired Conference. Please join me in welcoming Sarita Holzman.
Thank you, ladies, for hanging in there with me while I've been trying to settle up which office I'm in. Hopefully this outer office isn't too loud. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to come and share some of the things I've been thinking about for so many years, and I hope that at the end of the time we can all go forward with new ideas on how to more appropriately care for our world. When we see the news, it comes from all the different corners of the globe. How in the world do we raise our children's awareness and understanding of this world that we live in? We recently heard about the Tamil Tigers in Sri Lanka, cyclones in Myanmar, war in Afghanistan. How do we give our children a perspective of the world? If we want to impact our world through prayer, we need to understand it more appropriately. Why bother? For one, we want to be able to pray. We want to pray effectively, and we can only do that when we understand the world that we live in. We need to broaden our focus. If we only study our own country and understand our short period of history, we don't have a bigger picture of what God's doing around the world. We should focus on the unfamiliar. It makes it much more compelling to study. If we keep studying the same things day after day after day, American history again and again, it becomes dull. If we can study our world and look at the things that are around us, it becomes much more compelling, mainly because it's unfamiliar. And while the U.S. has been significant, it has a very short history. We want to compare our history to the history of this world. We want to understand the news. We want to be able to pray effectively. And we want to strengthen our faith. As we study the other countries of this world and the way that they view the world very differently than we do, we want to be able to grapple with what they believe and love what we believe even more effectively. We want to understand so that we can pray effectively and care for our world. What's the best way to do that? I believe the best way to do that is by reading great books that take place in other parts of the world. When we read books that take place in other countries, we can see the Bible with fresh eyes. An example of this is the book In Search of the Source, which is a missionary biography that takes place in Papua New Guinea. An American missionary goes over to a foreign land and has to figure out how to eat the food and try to translate the Bible into the language, the heart language of the people that live there. And as he does that, he wrestles with how to pick words that people don't even have in their own language. When they study, for example, the care of women, God created man and he created women in his own image. That's a new concept for the people who have always treated women as beasts of burden, as women who weren't cared for at all. And it elevates the view of women and it helps us to understand the Bible passages as we see it in the light of a different culture. We want to understand the various cultures that are around. For example, Little Pear is a story set in China, and it's a story of a little boy who lives in a family with his two sisters. It's as you look at how he lives in They have big steps going into their homes to keep the evil spirits from coming in. The little boy wears an amulet to keep the spirits from grasping him away. You get to study the different festivals and understand that their world is very different than ours, but that they have families that love one another, and it's just a good way of understanding a culture in a different kind of a way. The Master Puppeteer is set in Japan, and in that story you have the mother who never speaks anything kindly about anyone in her family because she's afraid that the spirits will come along and take away somebody who's valuable. And if you didn't understand Japanese culture, when somebody said something mean to someone else, you might not be able to understand how that all worked. We can use books to grasp non-Christian beliefs. For example, Daughter of the Mountains takes place in Nepal, and the little girl belongs to a Buddhist community. She deeply desires to receive a dog, but her family is so poor that she goes to the Buddhist temple and spins that prayer wheel again and again and again in hopes that somewhere, somehow, those prayers will effectively get her the desire of her heart. They see the prayer flags. You get a feeling of how the Buddhist world is very different than how we view this world. In Shadow Spinner, you have a rich man who has multiple wives and thinks nothing of killing them off whenever he's tired of them and just getting himself a new one, because in that particular culture, women are not valued. You can understand how different people view the world based on the books that you can read. You can gain understanding of cultural differences, how people interact one with another. In Red Sand, Blue Sky, set in Australia, you have an Australian girl who goes to meet with an Aborigine community. And as she's there, they find out that they think of the world in very different ways. And there have been bad feelings in the past, and they have a chance to break through and become friends, even with the baggage of the past. In Ali and the Golden Eagle, it's set in the Middle East, in a valley where people have never seen a white person before. And you have the contrast between two very different cultures, one very patriarchal, where one man rules the entire community and the neighborhood, and everybody bows kind of to his thinking and his way of viewing life. And then Seven Daughters and Seven Sons also takes place in the Middle East and demonstrates very clearly the high honor that families place on sons. And daughters are to be despised and unappreciated. But then you have a family that breaks through and finds out that daughters are to be valued. Charming, wonderful story that gives you a very clear sense of the difference in the cultures that are out there. As you read books, you can learn geography very easily. The Wheel on the School takes place in the Netherlands, and without studying geography, you can learn about dikes and land that lays below the sea level and how that's been reclaimed from, and how the tides come in, and the low landscape and the trees that live there. A very easy way to learn about different kinds of countries. Geography. The Land I Lost is set in Vietnam and gives you a very clear picture of the different animals that live there. Instead of having oxen or horses to pull plows, they use water buffaloes, and they plant rice paddies, and they describe how that's all done. You can learn about how other people live without having to travel halfway around the globe. You can understand the isms. And by that, I can use an example of communism. In the book, The Year of Impossible Goodbyes, it's a compelling story of a family that lives in North Korea during the time when the communists came over and take over the land, and a tragic story of the oppression and the brainwashing and the techniques that are used to bring the people into a love of communism. So reading books can give you many different views of the world. We want to make sure we give our children godly heroes. We live in a world surrounded by rock stars and sports figures and corrupt politicians. That's what's currently in the news. In order to give our kids godly heroes, may I recommend that we read missionary biographies to see how God takes ordinary people and uses them to transform cultures. For example, There's a Sheep in My Bathtub is a marvelous read of a couple that went to Mongolia, lived among the people, had sheep in their bathtub for their future meals, but basically ended up planting a church and training the leaders and leaving in a way that is a beautiful picture of how God can work in a culture and transform it. Brutschko also went in and changed a culture. A young man who went down into South America and settled among a people group that were animist and feared the evil spirits and planted a church. And at this point in time, there's a marvelous Christian community that has a chance to impact their world. A Peace Child is the story of a missionary and his family who went into a Papua New Guinea culture that were headhunters. They would basically deceive the people that lived around them, and when they had deceived them into thinking they were their friends, they would kill them and eat them. This is a culture that is transformed today because of a husband and a wife and their children that chose to go and live among them and change that people group forever. Talk about heroes of the faith that can inspire our children. Mary Slessor was a missionary to Africa. When she moved into the culture, they would kill any twin babies that came in. She actively worked to bring about transformation of culture. Missionaries can be an inspiration to our children. Godly heroes, we can just use them as a witness or an example to the cultures where they go. Hudson Taylor was the first missionary to go to the inland parts of China. Back in the day when people just didn't go there, it was too risky, it was too unknown, he chose to dress in Chinese costume, to wear the Chinese pigtail, and go and live among the people of inland China, transform that nation. Even to this day, the ripples we will never see until later. Mission to Cathay was Matteo Ricci, who went also to China and also had a chance to deal with the leaders of the land where he was placed and had a chance to impact the culture in a mighty way. We can galvanize the body of Christ. We can read the story of God's smuggler, who was a man who chose to bring Bibles behind the Iron Curtain and share his faith in that particular way, build up the body that was already there with Bibles that were out of reach to the people that were in those lands. An amazing story of how God protected him as he brought trunks full of Bibles and managed to get through border guards that were carefully watching everyone that came through. We can be encouraged to step out in our faith and do things that are great and mighty for God by reading the examples of people who go before us. We can discover good missions practices. The story Torches of Joy, it's a story of a couple and their family that went also to Papua New Guinea, lived among a people group as they became saved, trained them to be missionaries on their own behalf, and sent them out to their neighboring tribes. We learned good missions practices of not someone coming in and becoming a pastor, but to teach and to train and to move on. Good missions practices. Then we can use godly heroes, missionary biographies, to demonstrate that the victorious Christian life isn't always easy. I think too often our churches in the States here tend to say, name it and claim it, and good things only happen if we pray. We must demonstrate to our children that it does not always go smoothly, but that we must be faithful even through tough times. Some of the key people who demonstrate that are Adoniram Judson, who went in to Burma and translated the Bible and ended up in prison thinking his Bible had been destroyed, that he had poured his lifetime into. God actually redeemed the situation and the Bible was saved, but through this valley of despair, he came to trust that God was still good. Gladys Aylward, a missionary to China, ended up in country during the time when the Japanese invaded China and had to rescue a whole group of children and the hardships that they went through as they traversed over mountains and traveled over rivers and ended up finally in a city where they could get to refuge is a compelling story of working through hard times and knowing that God is faithful even through these times. Eric Liddell, the star of Chariots of Fire, compelling story of a missionary who, after his great success at the Olympics, also went to China and actually died in a concentration camp. God still is glorified by the lives of faithful people who'd work through hard times. Another way to raise up a heart for the world through your children is to use prayer guides. God allows us to join in His great work, and He allows us to do that through prayer. We are allowed to join arms with other believers and pray. I've heard statistics that say 86% of all Muslims and Hindus have never met a Christian or had a chance to hear the good news. In the places of earth that have never had a gospel presence, can you imagine the resistance? We must pray to break down these barriers, and if we can encourage our children to do so, may we join in this great and mighty work. We want to gain a heart for the world and imagine the resistance. And may we be people who break down these barriers. Another way we can raise up children with a heart for the world is to find a project for them to invest in. Most of us are charitable people. We give to our church. There's mission agencies we give to. But our children rarely have a chance to get invested in the great works of God. If you can find a program where your children can pray and can creatively come up with ways to generate cash to give, you have a unique opportunity to impact their hearts. The scriptures say, for where your money is, there your heart is as well. Spread the blessing. Involve your kids. Our hearts are impacted as we give. May it be that we grow a heart for the world. And if I can close with a few words of encouragement. If you are considering homeschooling, please do so. It's a huge privilege. And if you do so, it is for your children's sake. You're able to teach to their strengths, give and keep the love of learning alive. You're able to train them up with a heart for the world. And the key word here is training. You have an opportunity to train kids to go out and do great things for God. If you are currently homeschooling, may I encourage you to carry on. And may your children rise up and call you blessed. And may it be that in direct juxtaposition to the fall cartoons that come out every fall of the moms jumping up and down for joy that their children leave for school, may you be one of the few that has the opportunity to say, I love and enjoy my children. And may your children learn to love and appreciate their siblings and get along with one another. And thank you very much for hanging in there with me during this time. And I'll be glad to answer any questions up to this point. I'm glad to see that one person wrote on the text here, I'm so glad that my kids do not have to go off to school. And aren't we glad we don't have to pack lunches and figure out what they should wear. Someone here says, are there any prayer guides you recommend? In the Sunlight program, we do provide different prayer tools for every year. So if you go to our catalog, that's one place to go. A prayer guide that we use here at Sunlight is the Global Prayer Digest, which is put out by the people at the U.S. Center for World Mission. It's all of $12. Somebody asked, does our curriculum focus on many religions? I would say it's our focus, but because we choose not to just study American history, we do a lot more world history. You do come in contact with the religions of this world, and it does give you an opportunity to share with your children the contrasts that you see. Somebody said it's important to understand other religions. I think mainly it's important to understand other religions as a contrast to what we do believe. Christianity is a very reasonable faith. It has so many strong points behind it. We want to always make sure we're contrasting it with the weaknesses that truly exist in the other religions that are out there. Somebody said another great resource for prayer is Prayer Kids by NAVPRESS. I would say that's probably true. A book list, please feel free to request our catalog. It is just loaded with books. And for those of you who say you love your catalog, thank you. I do too. I use mine all the time. Somebody asked, how do you adjust the curriculum if you have one child who loves to read and one who does not? Particularly in the lower levels, we offer different rates of reading ability. We've carefully planned them according to kids who are still at the beginning level of reading up to kids who are basically reading the Bible. And for the kids who are a little slower, we try to provide books even then that are tantalizing and bring them into the reading. Found that many people, that when they read to their kids and as the kids read compelling stories, they become kids who love to read as well. Basically, we do that in two ways. We try to pick books that are compelling, and we read great stories to our kids to give them a love of books. Somebody says, we love the fact that read-alouds are abundant in sunlight. That's always been mine and my children's favorite time of the day. I have precious memories of my kids saying, keep on reading, keep on reading. And boy, isn't that what you always want for school to look like? Somebody says, we don't have walls at our house, we have bookshelves. That's my house too. Glory. Well, somebody said, blend these books with meeting real-life missionaries. May it be that we have churches that bring missionaries in and give our children a chance to meet up with these people who are doing great and mighty things for God. For kids who don't like to read, I would recommend that you read aloud to them more and more. It gives you a chance to link arms in a lot of ways and share a lot of memories. It takes some time, but what would we rather do than read great books? As somebody said, it's hard to find projects. This is a little bit of a coming up news. Our own customers don't even know this, but we have an incredible project coming up this fall. Check the Sunlight website. You do not have to be a Sunlighter to join in, but it's going to be a project that my heart is just grabbed by, and I think your kids will be very encouraged by as well. Please check our website for that. I hate reading aloud. I don't think you're a bad mom. It just takes a little bit of practice. Okay, somebody asked, is there any length of time that you should stick with a book that your kids don't care for? I think you could probably tell after a couple of chapters and move on. Set it aside. It could be they aren't the right age, they aren't used to being read to as much, or I've picked a book that didn't quite fit at that level. Set it aside, and it could be that a few years later they're much more ready for it. Somebody said, in reading aloud, what if a child stops you in the middle of a page or wants to point something out to you as you read? I'd say glory, and basically stop, discuss it as long as you want, because the goal is to communicate, and you really know at that point that they're listening carefully and they're tracking with you, and then just pick it up again as soon as you've finished discussing it. Somebody says, my daughter has struggles reading any novel-type book. She does better with short magazine articles. I'd say do whatever works. We just want our kids to be able to read. And they found that actually for kids who have a harder time with books, they recommend that you do more books that follow a progression like Babysitter's Club. Kids who read really, really carefully need to learn the strategy of skimming some of that intro material that they repeat in every single book. That might be a strategy to try. What about for a span of ages? I think I found that a great book can cover a wide range of kids. And for the youngest ones, you'd be amazed at what they pick up. I would just let my kids play on the floor with Legos or build something or color, and they pick it up pretty amazingly. Could be that you translate words that come across that you think might be too tough for them, but that's all part of the learning experience, isn't it? Somebody says, is it okay to just read the books on their own, and is that enough? My perspective is yes, and at Sunlight, about 10 years ago, we decided we needed to check to see if that truly did work, because it's a different model. It's a different way of doing education, and we started a scholarship program for kids who had used Sunlight for a number of years, and I'm here to tell you that our kids excel in their schooling. They get into whatever school they want to get into. They get high test scores. And I've had the privilege of interviewing a number of our scholarship winners, and they are articulate and sharp and just anxious to do great things for God. Such a privilege, and so I think I can say wholeheartedly that reading is a very effective way of teaching your children. Somebody says reading at lunchtime. I always wanted to eat myself. For what we do is the kids would do their seat work, and we always saved our read-alouds as the last thing that we did in the morning. It motivated the kids to work hard and get their work done because they were anxious to get to the books that we were reading. I found that it was a good method to keep everybody moving. Somebody says, if you're coming later to living books, Do you think it is better to just jump in and read for an hour to finish the scheduled amount, or do you slow down to train their ears and attention spans? I think I wouldn't keep reading if they weren't listening. If you're doing compelling stories, and you can tell usually pretty quickly that most kids will be able to hang in there longer than you can read to them. Somebody said, I always wanted to read ahead in the stories that were read-alouds. That's cheating. And my kids will be right on top of it if they know you're ahead in the story, and they'll follow you. One woman says, like I tell my children, I can because I'm the mom. And boy, we can always use that, can't we? Somebody said, my children are 3.5 years apart. Is that too far apart for them to share one core? I don't think so. I think I would choose the core for the older child and just add readers for the younger child. Readers in language arts and math, of course. Now, somebody said she would assign her daughter to read aloud to her. And that's a perfectly good strategy. It teaches kids a good reading ability and keeps them on track and doesn't allow them to cheat. Somebody said it's good to read ahead, and you certainly could. The books are certainly worth reading twice. And that person said, I do the voices, etc., and then she's ready. I thought, boy, that's a commitment. Somebody said that kids love the voices. And if you're able, boy, that's certainly a way to make the stories come alive. Somebody says, well, did your kids do tests okay without practicing them? Sunlight kids get into all kinds of schools, so I would say that yes, they do fine because they've learned how to think and to pull information from the books that they're reading. Rather than having a pre-digested textbook where the keywords are highlighted and the answers that you need are written in a particular way, you need to learn to sift and to sort, and that's a good life skill. Now, someone asks, what core would you suggest for a 5th and a 9th grader? You know, I'd recommend on that one that you'd contact one of our advisors. Those are Sunlight Moms who have used all of our programs and can give you super great advice and talk you through exactly what you would need. Someone asked, I have a son who's a struggling reader. You could certainly do a lower core. Their Sunlight products tend to be beefy and robust, or you could do the core that's appropriate for the older child and use a lower level of readers. Dr. Beechick in her marvelous 3R series recommends that kids read actually below their reading level because you want to encourage them and have great ability to achieve. The goal is that you progress kids forward and you do that as easily as you can. Somebody asks, would Sunlight be hard to use with a child with a reading disability? We have a number of customers that, you know, have children that are adopted from other lands or have a number of disabilities. And because it's a program that's designed around books, if you're willing to do a lot of the reading, your child should do absolutely just fine. Someone says, my children are both dyslexic. I think Sunlight has helped because of so much reading aloud. They're inspired to want to learn how to read. And I think that is absolutely true for every child. If you have compelling stories and kids know that there's wonderful things, wonderful words between the covers of a book, I think we're all motivated to get out and learn to read. Someone asked if there's anyone here with a developmentally delayed child. The Sunlight Forums, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial, has a whole forum for both gifted and children with disabilities. Please go there and post your questions. The Sunlight family is an incredible group of moms that are wonderful and so helpful. And, oh my goodness, if you don't get the answer there, you won't find it anywhere. Somebody says, thanks for the math DVDs. We actually have Justin working in the building this summer, and we can't be more thrilled to have him. And, yes, he's a riot. Somebody says the Sunlight forums are better than Google, and I would echo that in a heartbeat. If you need an answer to a question, you've got to scroll through so many weird answers on Google. At Sunlight, you've got homeschooling moms that are just the best resource in the world, in my opinion. Somebody said, which math DVDs? At Sunlight, we have a series called Mathtacular, which takes the abstract world and seeks to demonstrate it through physical objects in the real world. And it's done with a small team, but hilarious and fun, and people tell us their kids would rather watch that than Disney. Somebody said our favorite day is when our Sunlight boxes come via FedEx. And isn't that the truth? You look at the catalog, you think, oh my goodness, that's quite a bit of money. But then when you get the box and you can hardly lift it, you really are getting a lot of value. Well, somebody says, I am dyslexic and reading aloud is awesome for dyslexics. Boy, I believe that in a heartbeat. You learn to slow down, and I'm very encouraged to see that. Well, someone says, my son was upset because I was going out of town and wanted us to finish Seven Daughters and Seven Sons. I think we read that book in 2 days because the kids could hardly bear to put it down. It was it's just a great story. Luke says, if you have a Box Day story, please share it, and we'll post it on our Box Day page with photos, and Luke's got a link up there. Someone says, it's been wonderful to have everything planned and set up for you. Coming from a unit study format where she did all the planning, it was wonderful to know she could just open up and go and enjoy the journey. And but that is our goal, that you get exactly what you need and have all the tools that you have and can just keep moving forward and without spending months of planning. You can just open your guide and go. Somebody says they love the scripture CD. And that's a great story. It's a Sunlight dad who saw the verses that we have kids memorize. From K through 3, they memorize a verse a week. And from 4th on up, they learn 2 verses a week. And he called me up and he said, Sarita, I would love to produce a CD which puts all these verses to music. He's a strong musician and has done a marvelous job of matching the passage to the type of music that it is. Wonderful series called Sing the Word. Somebody else said that they love the Flashmaster, which is just a good tool for drilling kids in their math facts. Well, somebody says they don't think they'd still be homeschooling if it wasn't for the instructor's guide. Boy, I can echo that. I used my IG every day. I wrote them and I pulled them out every day because you just can hardly bear to do it otherwise. Oh, you guys are just so nice. Somebody else says the science videos are great as well. And that's also kind of a funny story. We designed those because homeschooling moms, I think, are the busiest people on earth. They not only have to care for their home and make sure their husbands are cheerful, but they have to educate their children. And we found that the one thing moms just didn't get to was pulling out the science supplies and doing all the science experiments. So we decided that we would videotape all of the experiments so that the moms would at least have a chance to see the experiments as they were done. And I think they're a great tool if you're a busy mom and it's a way to see what's happening even if you don't actually do it yourself. And I see that somebody has up here, they're called Discover and Do, and they can be a very useful tool. And somebody says, I'm actually making out my order as I listen. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we'll welcome you to the Sunlight family. Well, somebody says, I use the science videos when I'm sick. The kids think they're getting a break from school, but they're still learning. Don't we love it? Somebody says she loves the language arts. And what we've tried to do is use passages from the books that the kids actually read and build our assignments off of them so they learn from the models that the kids are actually using. And thank you for saying that. Somebody says that we save the videos for bad weather days and sick, quiet days, too. Really, really a good idea. No bondage in our lives at all, right? Somebody says, I have a boy, and she loves that the books are so full of action. I think the majority of our stories are compelling enough that you can gain boys and girls, and we've got 2 of each, and we always had kids that were glad to listen. And I want to thank my wonderful tech guy, Luke Holtzman, my son, for being as faithful in helping you all out with so many of these different areas. It's a big mercy not to have to think about it. Yay, Luke, you rock. Boy, that's the truth. And not just in this area. If you get the Mathtacular DVDs, Luke's the good-looking one with the blue tights. yeah, we'll leave it there. It has a purpose. Somebody asks, would Mathtacular help my children become faster at their multiplication tables? They are not designed for that. I think they will understand what multiplication is. That's the goal of it, that you would see an abstract problem, which is what all math problems, as they are in workbooks, are abstract numbers, And basically what the videos do is they take that abstract and show what that looks like in the real world. So kids will learn how multiplication works, how, anyway, charming and fun, actually. The science videos are called the Discover and Do videos. Somebody asked, what's the name of the science videos? The math video is Mathtacular. The science videos are Discover and Do, and they're listed in the science section. Flashmaster's in the back in the math. Somebody says Flashmaster will help with all the math facts and has lots of options. I think that that's true. And yes, somebody asked, do you sell Flashmaster? Yes, we do. And Luke says you can find Sarita's blog at www.saritaatsunlight.com. Somebody says, I enjoyed being able to chat with someone about questions. That's a new service that we offer at Sunlight, and our customer service people are awesome. So please feel free to call and chat with them as you have questions. Someone asks, do you recommend one Flashmaster for two kids or one? It's a relatively pricey item. I'd probably recommend one, but they'll probably fight over it. You might have to divvy it up and make them share. Someone asks, how old is Sunlight? We celebrate 20 years in 2010, which is grateful for having the opportunity to share great books and help people educate their precious children. What a joy and a privilege. Someone asks, did I address how to use Sunlight with multiple cores? If you would be willing to contact our SCCs or SCAs, our advisors, that's a free service that we offer, and they will give you every help and tip that you can do. Wonderful. Sunlight Moms, and they're terrific. Ladies, thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you. It's just been a real privilege.